Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Blog Talk Radio and the Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff and delighted to be with you again. Tonight's program is so fascinating. The guest is Christopher Foster and his topic, The Seven Gifts of a Loving Universe. A wonderful man and a wonderful topic. The Voice of Change brings to internet radio individuals speaking out on very important aspects of life during these very transformational times. During these programs, I like to interview spiritual teachers, enlightened leaders, educational professionals, birth educators, visionaries, cultural creatives, and artists. Our guests share their perspective, their expertise, and the insights they have to support, encourage, and inspire new ways for these changing times. And these times certainly are changing. These times are asking us to live, I believe, in greater harmony with ourselves, with our loved ones, as well as with all on the planet. We can no longer live unconsciously. The time has come for conscious creating. And although there is much chaos taking place on the planet and in the lives of many, I believe that the potential for greater understanding, for healing, and for change has never been greater. This is the time to be open to new ideas, new possibilities, and new ways of handling old problems. There are so many individuals as well as numerous groups working diligently on the planet to bring about change. They're working on healing the earth, the water, and the skies, as well as all life forms. And this journey into the new world begins with just one idea and one small step. So I invite us all to begin anew in each and every moment. Tonight, my guest is Christopher Foster, and he is the creator of the HappySeeker.com. Christopher has been a spiritual seeker all of his life. And during an argument with his father at about the age of 14 or 15, he declared emphatically that he said, "I want to find the truth." And that passionate statement has led him on an amazing journey. And as I've read through his life story, he's had, you know, numerous challenges, but he's always found a way back to happiness. And so our program tonight is The Seven Gifts of a Loving Universe. Welcome to the show, Christopher. Hope he's
appreciate
sitting
it.
Good on. There we have him on now. Very good. Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you very much,
Sharon. It's a delight to have you here.
Thanks for the introduction, too.
Oh, certainly, certainly. You know, there's just so much to share about your life that I think is so important because, you know, some people say it's always easy to be happy and to be upbeat when things are going right. But when we have challenges, you know, sometimes it's more difficult. And from reading about you and your life, it sounds like, you know, you've had your fair share of challenges, and yet you've always found ways to work through that and to continue finding happiness.
Well, thanks for what you say there, Sharon. I think it's true that there have been certainly trauma. I think that the paradox, though, here is that out of despair, something quite unexpected, but also very good. It has a way of emerging, I think, if our heart is open to that.
Oh, I think that's so true. I think that's so true. Perhaps it's, you know, that we're open to the real joys of living when we do have a challenge, when we do have that despair that you speak about.
Yes.
So here you have many wonderful articles on your website, and you know, some months ago I was just doing a search on the internet, and that's how I found you. And you just have a lot of wonderful, wonderful articles, and one of them is called The Seven Gifts of a Loving Universe. Can you talk a little bit about what you mean about that?
Yeah. I say the universe, I suppose you could use the word life there, the seven gifts of life. I could also think of it, Sharon, as our true character, really, our true nature, the way I see it, part of our true spiritual heritage is these gifts, and I suppose it's up to me, because we could only live life for ourselves, but up to me whether or not I, well, first of all, I have to unwrap them, I suppose you could say, but then I have to find ways to actualize them, and it takes a lifetime to do that, I think, doesn't it?
You know, the way you express it is so perfect. You have to unwrap them, and you know, it's so true, because a busy person can just kind of, you know, not even acknowledge the gifts, or not even understand them, or not really know that they're gifts. And so I think it's very true. We have to find ways to unwrap them. Can you tell me the first gift? What is the first gift of a loving universe?
Yes. Well, I think that there's only one answer to that, and I'm sure it's been spoken of in different ways in a lot of ancient texts, but the gift of patience, because without that, I don't think, you know, whatever it is, not just in sort of this particular arena we're talking about now, but creating anything or making a dream come true, patience is the first step, and in a way it's the last step, I think. I love a quote somewhere in the Bible. I see something about let patience be, or have her perfect works, or something about perfect and entire, and so an essential step.
Yes, yes. Having patience is certainly an essential step. And I think, you know, when I'm just reflecting back on my day, and when we aren't in having patience, or we're observing people around us who aren't patient, it's like they miss something huge, because there's the anxiety that comes up. There's the perhaps the temper that comes up, and it's like they're moving beyond the moment. They're moving beyond the moment, so they don't have that moment to enjoy.
Yes, that's beautiful, because I suppose a paradox, because you think of patience, and you can think of sort of a something that takes a long time, but really, it's very much of the moment. I think, don't you think? Yeah.
It is. I love to observe children, because they have so much patience. You know, they're right there in the moment.
Yes.
There's nothing
yes.
except what they are doing in the moment that counts, and it's
yes,
just
and you,
so beautiful.
And if you try to distract them or take that thing away, they let you know, don't they?
Right, yes. When my children were young, there was a beautiful set of songs put out, and one of them was Have Patience. And I'm not a singer, but it was so cute. I wish I could really sing it. It would go something like, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. And there was all these different characteristics that the animals had. And I tell you, the patience one, it was just so precious because I would play it often. And just the music itself was slow and not real fast. And it just talked about having patience. And I think with children, when we talk about these various traits, it brings them to mind and is a very important part of their growing up.
Yes, yes. I think I see two sides to patience. One is obviously we need it to bear life, so to speak, to bear what life brings to us.
Yes.
Because otherwise we'll probably sort of we'll despair. But the other side of it, I think patience, as we do persevere, it leads us. It helps open something in us, like I suppose, like a flower opens itself as it comes up out of the earth, and if there's some sunshine and some warmth and rain, it unfolds, but it mm-hmm. would never do that unless it participated in the nature of nature, really, the nature of the universe.
Right, I see what you're saying. So, yeah, so you're saying, in other words, patience gives us the quality to bear the traumas and the challenges of life, but it also allows for, I think here in your paper it said, it gives us the opportunity and perseverance for us to go on. Ah, I never thought about that. That's a wonderful point. Wonderful point. So it has so many or two different aspects to it. I'm sure it has more, but those two aspects are very, very different.
Yes.
Sometimes I know, you know, we can be impatient with ourselves or with others, and so it's just so important to really realize that patience is one of our natural characteristics, and we really can apply it when we need to. If we think about it, sometimes we just pass it up and don't really there. You know, I think you have, you know, in these qualities, I just think it's so important to talk about them. You know, there's not much going on around us sometimes in the world that, you know, really offers us an opportunity to look at these qualities. Was it Thomas Jefferson or no, Benjamin Franklin, I think, kept a diary about different qualities that he wanted to live on a daily basis. And I understand that he would check himself off at the end of the day and kind of grade himself of how he did. I think it was Benjamin Franklin. Have you heard of that or not?
I haven't, no, but it's lovely.
Okay.
Lovely anecdote, yeah.
I think it was. But it could have been Thomas Jefferson, because I know I took a character education training some years ago for a private school I was working at, and it was called the Thomas Jefferson Character Education. So it could have been him. But anyway, the gift of patience certainly is an important one. And what is the second gift?
Second one in this article I wrote is humility, and what I said here is, where would we be without humility? Humility opens the door to wisdom and intuition. It makes it possible for us to change and to grow. If we realize we're believed a lie, for example, or our attitude to someone was wrong, we can change. Humility makes it possible to find meaning and wholeness.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes, it makes us possible for to grow and change.
Maybe it makes it possible for us to be patient too.
Yes.
Because I mean, sometimes there's a real pressure that comes up in oneself, isn't there? You know, like you were saying earlier, you can hardly stand it any longer. So I think patience and humility go very well together.
They must be friends
in heaven.
They are friends, right? I like what you say here. Humility opens the door to wisdom and intuition. Yes, when we kind of turn maybe our thoughts away from ourselves and open up to a greater understanding, a greater wisdom, then we are perhaps in right connection with the divine or with a loving universe.
Yes, and don't you think, Sharon, sometimes when we first, we're wondering to ourselves what is the right thing here, for example, or what should I do here, and we may not get a clear picture at all to begin with.
Yeah.
I know when I was a young fellow, before I was still in England and sort of working at my job there, and I suddenly had this urge out of nowhere that it was the right thing for me to go to British Columbia in Canada, and it represented freedom to me, sort of getting out of the middle class mentality or experience that I had been brought up in, and I was quite judgmental then. Coming back to wisdom, I had sort of two conflicting things going on. Part of me was feeling this compulsion that it was the right thing to go to Canada, and part of me was saying, well, you know, I've got quite a good job. I'm just a young fellow here, 23. I've got a good career ahead of me here, and if I go out to British Columbia, I don't know anybody there, and so there were sort of two voices there, but
yeah.
So it wasn't entirely clear. Wisdom wasn't, but one day I thought to myself, well, I need to be still here. I don't know if I used that word in my own brain at the time, but I need to be still and just listen. And I went down to the south coast of England for a day, and I walked by the sea. There's a beautiful area in Sussex coast. It's called the Sussex Downs, and I walked along. This was a spring day, and sort of green grass and white cliffs and beautiful sea, and these birds, you know, skylarks, they were singing away, and all of a sudden, I just knew, you know, I need to do this, and it was absolutely clear, but until that moment, it wasn't, and I think coming back to wisdom that again, it takes patience sometimes to access it.
Yes, exactly. It takes patience, and also the humility comes in there, knowing that there is something beyond ourselves. And as you were tuning into the natural universe and being in that vibration, you know, the truth came to you as to exactly what to do. So I think that's a beautiful example. And just so important, I think, especially in our busy world today, to take time out, to go into nature, to be still, and to listen.
Yes. Yes, I think more and more important the busier the world gets, don't you think? Yeah.
Yes, very busy. And I think it's just, you know, I see young people, and, you know, they're texting, they're on the computer, they're doing this and they're that doing that, and they really don't have the time to really hear because they're so involved. And so I think, you know, taking time out is just it's so important. I just want to mention to our listeners that if you are listening and happen to have a question or a comment about this, you are welcome to call in, and we can take calls, you know, either at the end or during the program. The number here is 646-929-1995. Again, 646-929-1995. You're listening to The Voice of Change, and this is Christopher Foster talking about the seven loving gifts of a universe, the seven gifts of a loving universe, the first one being patience, the second one being humility. And I think they do go hand in hand, are just so important. So what is the third gift, Christopher, of a loving universe?
The third gift is courage. Because Winston Churchill, I think it was, said courage is the first of human qualities because it is the quality that guarantees all the rest. Anyway, I think that this whole undertaking of living and finding a greater meaning in life, you know, obviously we'll never do it without courage. So, but fortunately, you know, we really don't have to look for here or there or for courage. It really is part of our true nature, and if we call on it, it's right there.
Yes, so true, and I think it's attached to humility too, because as you said, you know, when you weren't sure about whether you wanted to make a change in your place of living, you know, you listened, and once you listened, in surrounded by the natural wonders of the sea and the earth, you knew what to do. And so then, knowing what to do, then comes the courage to do it.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
I love what you say here. Courage is the vital creative power that makes it possible for us not only to meet the challenges of our lives, but to follow our dreams and embrace the unique gift we came into the world to give. Oh, that's so beautiful.
I suppose there's, again, sort of the paradox of two sides of a coin. Courage,
yes.
Like with patience, it enables us to meet the... whatever is going on in our life, but also it makes it possible to move toward our dream and mm-hmm. to realize it.
Yes. When did you have a dream, Christopher? I wonder if I could just ask about what your dream of doing this website, the Happy Seeker, how did that come about for you? Has it been a long time, or has it just been the recent years you've done this type of work?
It was pretty recent, Sharon. I started this blog in May of 2009, so about a year and a half ago, and I had been an author. I'd written actually three or four books, but a book is quite a big commitment. You know, you might be writing it for at least a year, if not more, and then, you know, that's only the beginning. What's going to happen then? You have to wait if it's going to get published, and even when it, if and when it's published, you know, is anyone going to read it? And but somehow I guess it was around the beginning of 2009, or maybe toward the spring. I didn't know anything about blogging, but I must have read something about it. And what really appealed to me was that it was a much more immediate way to share something of yourself. You know, you write a post, as it's called, like you write an article, and
yes.
And if you've got your blog, you push a button and out it goes, and you know, you may hear back the next day. Someone says, you know, that was a terrible article, or maybe they say, oh, it was wonderful. How wonderful you are, you know. And
yes. Oh, that's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about, where is your blog? It's a Happy Seeker. Is that correct.com?
That's right. Thehappyseeker.com. Yes.
Now, is that a blog or is that a website?
Well, both.
Okay.
But I think of it as a blog. It is a blog, but
okay.
The, you know, there is a website in the mix.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm. Well, it comes across very nice. Your websites are all, I mean, whatever you send out is just, you know, it just comes in a beautiful appearance, and I always like that, the aesthetics of, you know, when somebody writes, I guess it just seems like it's in nature. And so when your blog comes, it's just a beautiful piece. If someone wants to get a hold of you or to reach your blog, do they just go to thehappyseeker.com?
That's right, yes. Yeah, there is. If somebody wanted to contact me personally, there's a way to do that on the website.
Oh, excellent. Uh-huh. And then you have a book, don't you, that you have free to people? I think there's a book.
Yes and no. I do sometimes, and sometimes I sell it. I've got a limited amount of copies left now. This was a book that I self-published back... it was the day after 9/11. I mean, not very good timing, but that's how it happened. And,
or sometimes maybe it was good timing.
Maybe it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right,
Called the Raven Who Spoke with God, and basically an animal fable about integrity and a young raven with a sense of mission in life, but it's more or less reached the end of its cycle now, I believe. But it did reasonably well. It was translated into 11 foreign language
editions. Oh, that's wonderful to have it done. That's marvelous.
It was always very exciting to get a new translation. And My wife and I used to sort of open it, admire it.
And what's the story about again?
A young raven who feels when all the other ravens are just sort of having a good time and, well, being hungry and looking for food, this young raven feels there's something more important in life, and what he sees is even though ravens tended to get a bad name, they actually have a worthwhile gift to give, and so that's the message that he wants to bring.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So they can contact you if people are interested in that book?
Oh yes, I'd be very happy to send a copy, sure. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, we're just going to take a brief break, musical interlude break here, and then we're going to be back with you, Christopher. And thanks again for being with us. Don't go away. You're listening to The Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff, and today we are talking with Christopher Foster, and the topic is the seven gifts of a loving universe, and we're talking about patience, humility, and courage so far, and we'll be back with four more toward the end of the, or right after this break, actually. I'm going to be playing a song. It's called Creating a World. It's by Jeffrey John White Bear, and it's just a wonderful, inspirational piece. So here we go, Creating a World.
Lived on this land called America. Parents taught me how to be a good patriot. 45 years I've lived on this sacred land. I learned the language, learned the way, learned some form of the history too. What I wasn't told as I was growing up was all the cause for me to be here. Well, I'm not saying I need to lay any blame. I'm not saying I need to feel any guilt. Right here and now, I'd like to proclaim, we are creating a world where our people are loved. We are creating a world no longer run by fear. We are creating a world where our beings are held with the sacredness of love. Newborn child. Well, I've been hearing about this place called Afghanistan. Sounds like a very different land, don't you know? One man is a terrorist, or is he a patriot? Depends on which side looking from. But we're all made out of the same earth, water, and air. Sun and spirit, all is fair. We all are made of love, that's true. We all are made to feel, we all are made to heal. We all have a unique gift of a mystery to share. So let's share. We are creating a world where our people are loved.
So that was Creating a World by Jeffrey John Whitebear. I just love the sentiments in that piece. Welcome back to the Voice of Change. We're here with Christopher Foster talking about the seven gifts of a loving universe. Hello, Christopher.
Hi, yes. Hi. That was a lovely song. Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Jeffrey John is actually in the Northern California area, and he works with seniors, sings with seniors as well as children. He's a natural outdoorist and writes his own songs.
Oh, goodness.
So it
is.
It's truly a beautiful one, isn't it?
Creating a world with the sacredness of a newborn child. Yeah.
Right, yes. Yeah. Creating a world where all people are held like the sacredness of a newborn child. I just love it. And where we are living without fear, you know, living in a world free of fear.
Yes.
Isn't that important, you know?
It's crucial,
It's
the whole crux of it, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, uh-huh, and where all people are loved. Yes, I do enjoy it, too, very much. Well, I enjoy your work, too. It's just a delight to have you here. We've talked about three gifts of a loving universe, patience, humility, and courage. And what is that fourth gift?
The gift of compassion.
That is one that is just so important, so important. Can you talk a little bit about compassion?
What I wrote here, compassion is one of the most precious gifts this universe has to give. Compassion not only sees the pain of the world, but paradoxically, it sees the incredible beauty and oneness back of creation, and I suppose for me, compassion, it makes it possible for me to feel oneness with another person or a situation, rather than being sort of having walls up around me, so that that's how I was for a long time, Sharon. For whatever reason, I maybe partly, I don't know, being a kid when World War II and the bombing in London, but whatever the reason, I grew up kind of numb, and it was a long time really, but before that kind of broke down, and I began to really began to be able to feel. You know, it's taken me a long time to be able to feel.
Yes, because we can't have the walls up if we are going to be living with compassion, can we?
Right, absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. And really, don't you think compassion, it brings the world alive in a way that otherwise you don't see that liveliness and even in very difficult, hard circumstances. I mean, you know, you see these pictures out of Africa and such like, and at one level, it's terrible. But at another level, you know, you can see a light in someone's eyes that's absolutely gorgeous. And
that's true.
Yeah,
it's true. It's amazing to see children. One of my daughters is a speech therapist, and she works with children in hospitals and schools, and I often go and see her students. Well, not often, but I do go and see her students. And some of these children, you know, they may not be able to say one word or just very little bit, or they, you know, have physical limitations, but there is such joy in them. And, you know, to see her bringing more joy to them and they giving it back to her, it truly is. It's our real humanity, isn't it?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes.
It brings people together, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that's right.
For sure. And the fifth gift?
The gift of happiness. And I, to be honest, I wasn't happy for a long, long time. But what I do find now, particularly in the last few years, quite a big change, because I don't see happiness as coming from outside myself anymore. It's true that what something good happens in your life externally, that's wonderful, but I think what's really important is getting a hold of this paradigm that actually happiness, true happiness, already exists within each one of us. It's a done deal. It's part of our true nature. And all if we are still for even a few moments, we can actually feel this happiness. And so that's been a life changer for me, Sharon.
Yes. Oh, I love what you say. You know, so many times people think that it has to depend on, the new car or the new house or this or that. And it's so true. You know, happiness is a done deal. I like the way that you put that.
Yes.
There's
so much energy. It does seem to me. So much energy you put out in looking for happiness.
Yes.
Outside ourselves,
right.
And it's a drain. I mean, or at least it can be a drain. And it's not that we shouldn't enjoy what is part of our world. It's there to be enjoyed and loved.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a funny twist here. I do think if we're happy to start with a very little thing in our environment makes us happy. You know, it's funny how that works. But just seeing a blade of grass. If you're
right.
Happy already seeing that blade of grass, you're even happier.
Yes.
But you didn't have to have the blade of grass to be happy. I guess it's another paradox, maybe.
So true, so true. Oh, I just think you bring up so many very, very important aspects of living life, living the happy life, living the contented life that we don't often speak about. I love what you've put here. The world has done a good job of convincing us that happiness is outside us and requires struggle and searching to be known. But happiness was given us at birth. All we have to do is be still and remember our true inheritance, the authentic happiness that already exists at the core of our being. It's just beautiful, just beautifully put. And the sixth gift.
Freedom, and I think these two qualities go together: happiness and freedom. Because just as I believe happiness already exists in us, so does freedom. And and again, you know, it's our habit has been. A human habit to look for freedom externally, and perhaps there's nothing wrong with that at all. But just as with happiness, I do believe that whatever freedom is, and it's just a word, but whatever freedom is, freedom already is. In existence in us, a timeless existence too. You know, it's not something that somehow was created in us 2 years ago. It was with us when we were born into this world.
Right. Right. So true. Let's see, freedom, the gift of freedom. Nothing needs to change in the life or mind, in your life or mind, for us to be free. You can be free right now regardless of your circumstances, and the truth is you are free right now as you surrender to the timeless presence of your own eternal self. I think the gift of freedom is just essential for us to realize.
And of course, you know, there have been lovely examples of people acknowledging this and accepting this truth. I was thinking of somebody called, I think it was Sir Richard Lovelace, lived a long time ago in England and was put in prison, and he said something like, let's see, how did he put it? Stone walls do not a prison make. There's some famous lines there. But the idea that although his outer situation was very bleak, that he was still free. In himself.
Yes. Within himself, because he could think his own thoughts. He could, you know, speak what he wanted to. Yes. So important. And the last gift, what is the last one?
Well, the last one is love.
The gift of love.
Yeah. I suppose, obviously, I suppose that all we've been talking about, Sharon, comes to focus really in love, but not the sort of casual meaning of love that's sometimes given to love. But I'm really thinking of something that's timeless and unconquerable, and that really is back of what we think of as creation or the universe. So it's
so beautifully put. The gift of love, you know, I see it here in one line under that particular section. You have, you are love. The universe sees you and admires you and loves you because you are part of itself. And you know, as we speak about these qualities and these gifts, Christopher, I really see them as the way the universe is loving people. You know, they give the gift of patience, humility, courage, compassion, happiness, freedom, and love. And that's kind of like a gift from the universe because we are loved.
Yes, I think that's the crux of it. Yeah, we are loved, and to realize that what a blessing.
Yes. Truly a blessing. I have a dear friend up in Oregon, and she often allows the universe to supply her needs. And she said, you know, so many people are so anxious for whatever they want, they don't allow the universe to really supply it. And at one particular time, her food budget was like under $100 for a month. And she would be given fruit, she would be given apples, she would be given fish sometimes. And she just kind of waited in awe as to see how this universe was going to support her, and she gave out to others in beautiful ways, just a gorgeous way. So, you know, the universe truly is loving if we only allow it to show its gifts to us and to be open to them.
Yes, that's beautiful. Yeah,
we have to be open though to love, don't we?
Yes.
We have to have an openness there.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we which requires that earlier step of humility. Otherwise, we'll miss it perhaps.
Yes, so true, so true. Well, we have about 5 minutes left here, and there's just a couple things, and I think we'll tie this all up. One is, you know, how can we be more connected with this vast whole, with these gifts? How can we be connected to the vastness of the universe and feel like it really is supporting us? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, this is my favorite theme. I still don't know entirely how. Well, perhaps I do how it happened, but just mm-hmm. quite recently, just 3, 4, 5 years ago, and it was a very difficult time in my life, real despair. I mean, really deep despair. But it was what happened quite suddenly. Really, I suppose I for on one hand I gave up, but at the same time I realized I had a sense of stillness the first time that I had felt the presence of stillness in this way, and in that stillness I realized was everything that I had been looking for ever since I was that young kid in England wanting to find truth. I didn't need to look for it anymore because it was. I mean, it had been in what I think of as stillness in me all the time, and the stillness, like it wasn't in my mind, it wasn't coming from somewhere else, sort of, or even from some external sort of deity. It was my own stillness, the stillness of my own being. And
oh, that's so beautiful.
So in terms of connecting with these. With these gifts and these qualities, for me, the secret is being still. And
yes.
The little mantra that I sometimes enjoy saying to myself is all I have to do is to be still. And
that is such a beautiful statement and so important. Just beautiful. Just so beautiful. And sometimes, you know, you speak of the paradox of these things, and you say that, you know, it was a difficult time for you, and yet on the other side of that, you got the best gift, the most wonderful gift you've always wanted.
Yes, yes. Extraordinary, isn't it? You know, I mean, life is a bit of a trickster, sort of.
Yes.
In a good way, you know.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then how do you see these, how can we claim these gifts, Christopher, and make them real in our own lives?
I think we have to begin at the beginning, and we have to be prepared to be patient and
yes.
As I was saying, the key is to be still, like in that beautiful piece of scripture, be still and know that I am God.
Oh, that's beautiful.
When I say patient, I'm thinking, for example, giving oneself even a couple of minutes a day, whatever it is that we can manage, but to begin homing in on stillness, which, you know, you can't, nobody can really, you know, obviously describe what stillness is, but there is, whatever the truth is back of that word, make a start in practicing a little bit of stillness each day, and then stay with that. And I think it's kind of like rolling a small snowball along the ground, and it gets bigger. You know?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful illustration of it. Well, thank you so much for those words. You have The Wisdom of Serenity. Is that book still available at your website?
It is, yeah. Yeah, that's a free e-book.
Okay.
The subtitle of it, let's see.
Reclaiming.
Yeah, reclaiming your
authentic happiness,
wisdom,
like it looks like.
Something like that.
Yeah, authentic happiness, so The Wisdom Serenity. And your website is thehappyseeker.com.
Happyseeker.com, yes.
Right. Okay. Christopher, it's been an honor to have you today. Thank you so very much. And if you would like to go to thehappyseeker.com, you can pick up his free ebook, The Wisdom of Serenity. And also, there are many articles on the website, including the one that we've talked about today, The Seven Gifts of a Loving Verse of a Universe. Thank you again, Christopher, so much for your time.
And thank you very much for the opportunity, Sharon.
My pleasure. Bye for now.
Bye-bye for now.
I want to let all of you know that we have some wonderful programs upcoming. Next week, we have PMH Atwater back, and this time she's going to be talking about the Big Book of Near-Death Experiences. That's the topic, and also it's her talk. It's her book, and she says, especially after the light of Clint Eastwood's movie Hereafter, there's much talk about the near-death phenomena and how it affects people. And she's going to be talking about that. She has researched the near-death experience for 33 years, and she has had three such experiences herself. PMH Atwater is an amazing author, and we had her on in the December, and she talked about Beyond the Indigo Children. Also, that's on January 21st. On the 26th of January, we have Laura Cattleman Prue, and she is talking about Skinny Thinking, a marvelous book. She has out several, one for women, one for men, and a workbook. She's going to be talking about her approach to heal the weight issues that plagued her for 35 years. And she discovered that changing her diet was irrelevant, if she didn't also change her thinking habits. And she's going to be talking about that. And then on January 28th, we have Karen Melton back, and she is a prenatal and birth therapist. The topic is going to be, why should we listen to babies, and how can we listen, and what do they have to tell us? How can we listen to babies and what they have to tell us? And she is an amazing therapist and works to heal prenatal and perinatal trauma. So those are the upcoming programs that are here coming up on the Voice of Change. And thank you again for listening. It's always a delight to have our speakers, our guests here. And if you want to go to see more of Christopher Foster's work, he is at thehappyseeker.com. So thank you for listening to The Voice of Change, and we will see you next week here at the same time, 5 to 6 p.m. on Pacific Time. Thanks for listening to The Voice of Change.